Well, good morning, my dear friends. It's wonderful to be gathered once again in our Father's house this beautiful morning. And I haven't been here for a while, so this is kind of interesting, you know, being back here again with BBS and then the mission trip. It's been wonderful and a great blessing. And we brought all the kids back in generally the same condition we took them, which is always a good thing. We learned a lot. We did a lot. We poured a foundation or footings for a house. We built a shed and we did a VBS there. So that was a busy week. We did a lot. It was great. So we just thank God that he got us there and got us back. And I heard that the Sunday following VBS was exciting. And that's just so great to hear. But we are here once again this morning. And we are coming into the presence of God. And I think a lot of times we kind of take that for granted, you know, the idea that we're in our Father's house, that we are in a place that our God has promised to be, that in his word and through his sacraments and through the songs that we sing and the things that all the different ways that God puts his word into our hearts, he is here. He promises to send his Spirit to work in our hearts and in our minds and to help us to trust him better. This is a really amazing thing, joyful and wonderful, but amazing and deep too. And so as we gather together this morning, let us remember the day that our God invited us into this family, into this house, and the day that we received the forgiveness of sins so that we can stand before God worthy because of what Jesus has done for us. Let's begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Heavenly Father, I thank you that you call us to be your own. We are in awe of the ways that you show us love and kindness, though we do not deserve it. Lord, I pray you help us this day to receive your word, to respond in kind, and to be present here, setting aside anything that might pull us away or distract us. All these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy upon us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Song we could ever sing, worthy of all the praise we could ever bring, worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Oh, we live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. We live for you. Open up my eyes. Jesus, the only one who could ever save. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe, we live for you. Oh, we live for you. Holy, there is no one like you. There is none beside you. Open up my eyes in wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to those around me.
Speaks endlessly to his voice through life and death. Good morning. I'm Kevin Shagg. I'm one of the elders here at St. Mark's. The first reading is from 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 1 through 13. As God's co-workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For he says, "In the time of my favor, I heard you, and in the day of salvation, I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. We put no stumbling block in anyone's path so that our ministry will not be discredited. Rather, as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, in great endurance, in troubles, hardship, and distress, in beatings, imprisonments, and riots, in hard work, sleepless nights, and hunger, in purity, understanding, patience, and kindness, in the Holy Spirit, and in sincere love, in truthful speech, and in the power of God, with weapons of righteousness in the right hand and in the left, through glory and dishonor, bad report and good report, genuine, let regarded as impostors, known, yet regarded as unknown, dying, and yet we live on, beaten, yet not killed. Sorrowful, but always rejoicing. Poor, yet making many rich, having nothing, yet possessing everything. We have spoken freely to you, Corinthians, and opened wide our hearts to you. We are not withholding our affection from you, but you are withholding yours from us. As a fair exchange, I speak to you as my children. Open wide your hearts also. This is the word of the Lord.
Our sermon scripture reading for today comes from the Gospel of Mark, the fourth chapter. That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along, just as he was, in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat, so that it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind and the waves, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this? Even the wind and the waves obey him." At this time, I invite the children forward for a children's message.
Good morning. Today we're going to talk about fears or something that you're afraid of. What are some things you're afraid of? Spiders.
Thunderstorms.
Well, you know, I have Amanda with me, and she's going to show you some pictures of things that I think that you are afraid of or some people are afraid of.
Or monsters.
So the first picture Amanda has is...
Up here's the seal.
I think I'm up here.
She has a picture of... What is that?
Lightning
or a thunderstorm.
Oh, that's what I'm afraid of.
Some of you already said you're afraid of storms.
What's the next picture?
The next picture she has is a picture of...
A roller coaster.
Some people are afraid of roller coasters, but some people are afraid of heights. Roller coasters usually are really high. That's why some people don't go on roller coasters, because they're so high. What's the next picture? The next picture is
a bee.
Some people are afraid of bees.
They sting.
They can sting.
What's the next picture?
The next picture is a
Spider. Someone said, I think you said Ava. You're afraid of spiders. What's the next one? And it's our last picture. What do you think this is?
Dark.
Some people are afraid of dark.
I'm not.
In today's scripture, we heard about something the disciples were afraid of. What were the disciples afraid of?
Storm.
It was a storm. But in this story, they had a storm, but they were actually on the water. They were in a boat on the water. So when the storm happened, what do you think happened to the water?
It got rougher.
The waves got bigger, and they got bigger, and they got bigger, and the disciples got scared. But somebody... Somebody was on the boat with them. Who was on the boat with
them?
Jesus.
And he was sleeping.
And the disciples got scared, and they went and they woke Jesus up. And Jesus woke up, and what did he do to the storm?
He made it calm and still. Be quiet.
He said, be quiet. And they did. It stopped automatically. Jesus is very powerful and could do things that we can't. Jesus is also with us during times when we are afraid, and he comforts and protects us, just like he did with the disciples. With Jesus, things can still be scary, but we can be assured that he is there for us. One of my favorite songs reminds me of this. It says, Jesus is the one that always loves me. Never will I have to be afraid. When I'm feeling sad or scared or lonely, all I have to do is pray. So when you're in a situation when you're scared, sad, or scared, or lonely, if you pray, Jesus is right there with you. So we don't have to be scared. We don't have to be sad. We don't have to be lonely because Jesus is right there with us. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, thank you for being there for us to protect and comfort us from things that are scary. Please give us the courage to be strong when we are faced with scary situations. We know that we can do all things with you. Please continue to watch over us. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, my friends, it is now time for a little worship. So if 4-year-old through 4th grade can meet at the cross at the end, at the center aisle, and the rest of us, let us open up our scriptures this morning. Today's text has so much to do with fear. The disciples were having a very bad day. They thought that they had things under control, which is, I think, one of the things that led them so quickly into fear. 4 out of the 12 disciples were fishermen. They knew boats. They'd spent a lot of time on the sea. This wasn't like out of their comfort zone to be on the sea. They knew what to do. They knew how to do it. They could direct the others. Everything should be just fine. But all of a sudden, it's not. All of a sudden, something very inordinate happened, and the disciples were terrified. And they were afraid because they saw the wind, they saw the waves, they saw that they could die. And that's enough to get your attention, right? And so they grab Jesus, who's doing what? Now, Jesus is a good sleeper. I mean, the boat is tossing and turning all over the place. It talks about water is like threatening to come over the side of the boat. I mean, how? These boats are not big boats. These are not cabin cruisers. Jesus wasn't like inside in a dry bed. These are open boats. And Jesus is laying there on a cushion sleeping. And the disciples wake him up and they have a question for Jesus. Don't you care that we're about to perish? Now, you got to wonder what the disciples were expecting Jesus to do, all right? Because what Jesus did do was a big deal. He stood up and he just told the wind and the waves to be still. And it went from being a great storm to a great calm, just like that. And you would think that if the real problem here was the storm, the disciples would now suddenly be very overjoyed. But that's not what we see. What do we see the disciples? What was their response? What was their emotions? They were terrified. Well, what's Jesus supposed to do to calm these people down? You send them a storm, they're terrified. You take away the storm, they're still terrified. But what are they terrified of now? I mean, here's the thing, is that the question that is terrifying the disciples is, who is this? What is going on here? Something really strange is happening. This is not normal. This is not what we're used to. This is not the sea and the waves that we understand. When we see sea and waves, we know what to do. But one of the things you don't do is tell the storm to be still and have it listen. That's not normal. And the disciples were so fixated on normal. They wanted a world they could understand, and instead they got Jesus. And Jesus, he kind of freaked them out today. And you know, I think often we get different care from our God as well. You know, so many times when we pray, we are oddly specific. You understand? I mean, we have a situation where the world isn't what we expect it to be. It's not what we want. It's not in our comfort zone. We don't feel like we're in control. And so when we pray to God, we're very helpful, and we tell God exactly what we want. Is that okay? Absolutely, it's okay. We should definitely pray to God and tell him what we're thinking and what's on our mind and all that kind of stuff. But we always remember, there's that thing that we always put at the end of our prayers to kind of help us to remember something about not my will, but why do we say that? Because sometimes God's solution looks different than ours, right? God will fix a problem. One time it was like that in seminary with me. I don't know if you've ever known seminarians and stuff. They don't have any money. It has something to do with dad not working and instead paying tuition. And so, I mean, you just don't have any money. And so when a need arises, what is the thing that we normally would ask for? Money. You know what God didn't give me lots of? Yet I stand here and my children are healthy and they were raised well. I mean, we never went hungry. And the answer and the question is, well, how did that work if God didn't give me money? If that's not the answer to the problem, what is? And God said, I'm bigger than that. I can provide for you and I don't even have to give you money. I'll just take away debts. I'll just take away your problems. I'll just get things paid for and covered. I'll give you cars. How many times does that happen where somebody just gives you a car? I had people who I've never met give me cars. I mean, it's odd, right? I mean, God, my son was in the hospital, right? It was a $10,000 ear infection. It was like the most ridiculous thing in the whole world. And all of a sudden, our Vicarage Church in the Twin Cities paid for all the medical bills. Well, could I have arranged for all that? But God can. And I think in a lot of times we get so fixated with the problem. We think we understand the problem. We think we know the problem. We think we know the solution. And we kind of like when we pray, we're not praying, Lord, let your will be done. We're praying, Lord, do it my way. And if he doesn't do it my way, then somehow he let us down. Or I'm going to sit here and be anxious about it because I don't understand how this is going to get solved, right? And what we got to remember is that just like the disciples, this guy in the boat with us is a little bit of a big deal. A little bit more than even we expect. And I think what the disciples were struggling with, and I don't want to throw any cast any dispersions on the disciples. This was new for them, all right? This is John chapter 4. Guess what happened in John chapter 3? The disciples were told, you're going to be the disciples. I mean, this is very early in their education, you know. So for them to not understand exactly who Jesus is and stuff is not overly shocking. But I love what Jesus says. When Jesus calms the wind and the waves, and he looks at his disciples, and what does he ask them? Don't you have any faith? Why are you cowards? Why are you so afraid? Don't you believe in me? Don't you understand what this relationship is all about? Don't you understand who I am? Don't you know what it means that I am here in the boat with you? I mean, as children, we understood this, right? I mean, when there's something going wrong in the world, the car breaks down or the flat tire on the side of the road, but dad's along, right? And so as kids, are we worried? Dad's got this, you know? Now, does dad actually have it? I don't know, maybe, possibly, but as a kid, dad's got this. And we can have complete confidence in knowing that because dad is with us, we are fine. And this is what Jesus wants his disciples to understand. I am with you. This storm, it's not too big for me. That you can have confidence in the middle of the most terrifying situation. Because Jesus is in the boat. First reading is kind of interesting. Did you hear this whole list of things? You know, Paul's talking to the Corinthians, and he's talking about, he goes, look, this is all the stuff we're putting up with so that we can do ministry to you. In great endurance, in troubles, in hardship, in distresses, in beatings, and imprisonments, and riots, in hard work, sleepless nights, and hunger, in purity, understanding, patience, and kindness, in the Holy Spirit, and in sincere love, in truthful speech, and in the power of God, with weapons of righteousness in the right hand and the left, through glory and dishonor, bad report, good report, genuine, not yet regarded as impostors, known, yet regarded as unknown, dying, and yet we live on, beaten and not killed, sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, poor, yet making many rich, having nothing, yet possessing everything. Did they have it easy? Is he freaked out about it? Why? I mean, seriously, if you were being arrested and took out and beaten, and then, you know, there was a riot, and then you were like whisked out of town, and you what would you be feeling? I mean, this was stressful for Paul, or at least the situation was stressful. I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on. Paul was arrested. He was held in prison. He went through so many things so that he could spread this gospel. And the question is, how could he be so persistent? You know, why did he not crumble? Why did he not give up? Why did he not stop? Why did he not freak out like the disciples freaked out when he understood the legal situations that he was in and he knew that he could be killed, and yet he didn't stop ever? I mean, he just witnessed to the judges that were judging him. He just never quit. And the question is, well, how? How was he not the coward like the disciples in the boat? And the answer is this. He knew the one who was in the boat with him. He knew the one who was walking with him throughout his life. He knew he wasn't alone, and he knew what it meant that he wasn't alone. It's not just that God was with him, but it's a loving God who is reaching out through him to people that needed to be touched with the life-changing salvation of the gospel, this incredible message, and that this was his task. His task was to walk out this life that God had given him, and that he would do it with all courage, because the one who was with him is bigger than the world. And because he knew this, because of the confidence that he had in this God that walked with him, he could have courage in all circumstances, no matter what happened, no matter if he was arrested or free, whether he could speak his mind or whether he was being, trying to be restrained by the leadership, whether there was riots, whether he was hungry, whether he was well fed, it didn't make any difference. He was going to do the job that God put in front of him because God was with him. And folks, this is the thing. Here, you want to know where your salvation is? I love the beginning of this passage. He says, I tell you now is the time of the Lord God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. This is the day. It's not a hypothetical, maybe sometime, we'll prepare for the day that God rescues us or saves us, or the day that God is with us, or the day God gives us something to do. Now is the day. This is the day that we have been redeemed. We have been saved. We live out that salvation every day, that our God is in us and with us. The Spirit speaks to us. Jesus is with us. We can pray to God at any moment. He's there even if we're not thinking about it. And that this God does not miss anything. And our job is to do the task he gave us, to carry it out. And it won't always make sense. When you see somebody who doesn't have something they need, what are you supposed to do? When you see somebody sick or in prison, what are you supposed to do? Is it that we don't know the tasks that God gives us? We know. We've been taught. We understand. If we see somebody in front of us who hasn't heard the gospel, or somebody who is a Christian but they're just burdened right now because life is so difficult, and they're being tempted to take their eyes off of Jesus and to look at their troubles instead, and what is our job? Our job is to walk into those lives and to speak the truth of God so that we can help encourage people in the faith and keep their eyes focused on the Jesus who is with them and loves them and will carry them through this situation. We know we don't have the ability to carry them through the situation, but God can. Our job is to do our part and remind them that God can. But why don't we? Because we're afraid. We might look dumb. We might say something not quite perfectly right. We might look foolish. Somebody might not like us. It's not all that popular in the world to be talking about God. You might offend somebody or something. But guys, who's bigger, God or the world? Are we going to live in fear? Are we going to allow these things to stop us from doing the work that God gave us, to live out this faith that he has put in our hearts, to stop doing the task because we're afraid? Or are we going to remember who's in the boat with us? And remember that not only is he God, but he is God for us. You know, the disciples, it's kind of hilarious because, you know, they come to Jesus and they say, "Don't you care that we perish?" And Jesus is like, "Well, that's kind of why I'm here. I mean, it's why I'm on earth. It's why I'm teaching you. It's why that's the whole point of the whole thing is that I care deeply that you're perishing. Only I'm worried about a much more intense perishing than just a storm." And so we have this Jesus who is absolutely passionate about the rescue of each individual person. And now he has done his part. He has redeemed mankind. He has paid the penalty for sin. He has redeemed us from sin, death, and the devil. And now it is time for us to go out and share this message. This is it. We share it by words. We share it by actions. We love the people around us. Even if it costs us something, we love. And we don't worry about the cost because the cost is covered by God. And the thing is that the disciples that came before us, they also paid a price for sharing the faith, and that's okay. They were willing to absorb that cost because they were not cowards, because they looked at who was in the boat with them, and they knew that ultimately they were going to be at the feet of God, at the feet of the throne in heaven, when everything is made right. And in the meantime, will there be difficulty? Yes. Am I telling you that if we share the faith and live boldly in love, that we're going to have it easy all the time? Absolutely not. But we don't let that stop us, because we are not living for today, but we are living for that day that we get to spend eternity with him. And we want as many people there as we can possibly as many people there as possible. We want to be the ones to share this gospel. Folks, you know, when I was in the Army, they talk a lot about bravery, you know, because in the Army we have to do a lot of really stupid things. Somebody's shooting over there. Let's run over there. Seems like a good idea. Right? There's a lot of sayings in the Army about bravery. You know, they say the difference between brave and stupid is whether or not you survive. You know, it's kind of, yeah. But the other thing is this, is that what you have to understand about people who are brave is that it's not that they're not afraid. You know what I'm saying? And the thing is this, is that when we are put in situations where we are, where our well-being, our nice life is threatened, it is natural that we would feel afraid. The question is whether or not we're going to let our fear stop us from doing the job God gave us to do. Are we going to be able to remember that our God has us in his hands? Are we going to remember that he is our strength? Are we going to remember that he is bigger than this situation? Are we going to remember that we are not alone in the boat, but that God is there with us? Are we going to be brave with his strength, on his promise, with his encouragement, and with the faith that he has put in us? Are we going to be brave? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, so much for loving us and for bringing us into your church. Lord, I pray that you would continue to work in and through us, Lord. Give us every opportunity to share the gospel, Lord, to share your love, to take care of the people around us, Lord, but that we don't forget that we share the reason for the hope that we have. Thank you, Lord, for loving us. In your name we pray. Amen. All right, my friends. It is now time for us to continue our worship with by collecting the tithes and offerings. I also ask that you would record your attendance in the folders that you'll find near your seats. And let's praise our Lord as the offering is collected.
Who tells the sun to rise every morning? Colors the sky with the shades of his glory, wakes us with mercy and love, Jesus does. Who holds the orphan, comforts comforts the widow, cries for injustice, feels every sorrow, carries the pain of his children, Jesus does. So we sing praise to the Father who gave us the Son, praise to the Spirit who's living in us. When I was a sinner, he saved me from. The sinner showers his grace over all our mistakes, washes us clean with his blood, Jesus does. Who sings the song of sweet forgiveness? Who stole the keys to hell and the grave?
Please stand as we profess our shared faith with the words of the explanation of the third article of the Apostles' Creed. I believe that I cannot, by my own reason or strength, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. In the same way, he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. In this Christian church, he daily and richly forgives all my sins and the sins of all believers. On the last day, he will raise me and all the dead and give eternal life to me and all believers in Christ. This is most certainly true. Heavenly Father, we come before you today mindful of your creation, specifically the hot weather, trusting in you that you will provide. I pray that you'd help all people who are struggling right now with the elements, help them to get the shelter that they need, and provide for them even in unlikely ways. Lord, in this life we face many hardships, whether it be difficulties financially, difficulties with relationships, difficulties with health. So many things that tempt us to ask the question, do you care? In those times, Lord, I pray you help us to turn to you and to say, thy will be done. Help us to remember that you are with us, even in the midst of that storm. Lastly, Lord, I pray that you be with all civil servants, everyone who you have entrusted with authority for the care and the protection of people in society. I pray that you would grant them wisdom as they're serving out their vocation. I pray that you would help them be mindful of the needs of all people and to act in accordance with that knowledge. All these things we pray in Jesus' name, who has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, in the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he gave it to the disciples and said, take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same way also he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, drink of it, all of you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of all your sins. This do as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me.
Lord, we have come and have gone. weak and wounded sinner, lost and left to die. Oh, raise your head, for love is passing by. Come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus, amen. Now your burden's lifted and carried far away, and precious blood has washed away the stain. So sing to Jesus, sing to Jesus, sing to Jesus, and him. Like a newborn baby, don't be afraid to crawl. Remember when you walk, sometimes you fall. So fall on Jesus, fall on Jesus. The way is lonely and steep and filled with pain. So if your sky is dark and pours the rain, then cry to Jesus, cry to Jesus, cry to Jesus, and
here's my heart.
And now may this true body and blood of our Lord and Savior strengthen and preserve you in the true faith to life everlasting. Depart from his table with peace. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and grant you his peace. Amen. Please stand for our concluding song.
Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Strength will rise as we wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord. We will wait upon the Lord. Our God, you reign forever. Our hope, our strong deliverer. You are the everlasting God. The everlasting God. You do
Thank you again for joining us in worship today at St. Mark's. At this time, I invite all children who are going to Sunday school to go ahead and go to the back, and you'll be directed as to where to go. But concerning education, I want to note some things. One, the ladies' study that had been meeting is taking a break now for the summer and should be getting together again in the fall. We have a new member class starting today, which is going to be meeting in the meeting room. That's kind of right about that direction, adjacent to the church office. And right here we have Pastor Bob is going to be leading a study on the Bible and archaeology. Should be exciting. Wish I could be there, but I got to be teaching. Somebody has to teach new member class. So otherwise, I don't know. Do I have any other announcements? Pastor Bob, do you have anything else? All right. Well, seeing a shaking of a head, I will go with that is it. So I pray you have a blessed week. Go in peace and serve the Lord.